We had a wonderful time of Bible study. My goodness, it was just, you know, we get there about 6:15, and I think maybe about 6:30, 6:35, we got down into maybe looking at the Word because of just talking and just kind of seeing how the week was going and how people are doing. And it went for a good time. And so I thought, wow, Lord, this is great. And we're looking at 1 Corinthians, I think, chapter 1, just kind of working our way through that. We'll go to chapter 2. But now this coming Tuesday will be a time of prayer. So Tuesday, at that same time frame, at 6:15 at Terry's house, we'll have prayer, and we'll just go into a time of prayer for that time. And then the following Tuesday, we'll come back, have a Bible study. So it's just going to rotate like that. But that's on Tuesdays now. So I've shared some of this, and I shared just a little bit. And then, of course, it's online, so if you went online and listened to it, that's good too. But the message last week was, is your net empty? And I was looking at that because I began to look at that, of course, with John. And we can read through it real quick. But I looked at it, it's kind of an interesting thing. I thought, well, Lord, there wasn't that many people there. Should I go into another message in my next direction of what I wanted to focus on? Or should I stay back with where we were at last week since there wasn't that many here? And so tossing and turning within myself, I thought, I'm going to kind of stick with this. But prior to last week, now to this week, kind of look at it just a little bit differently to a point. But I really wanted to look at this as what the disciples were doing after Jesus had been resurrected. John 21, The Breakfast by the Sea is the title in my Bible. This will be the third time that Jesus has appeared to his disciples since the resurrection. And it goes back to this, and I read last week, and you can read this week with us in John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee, and this was the way that he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others. The sons would be James and John, and of his disciples, they were all together now. And Simon Peter says to them, what? I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. And the rest of the disciples said to him, we are going to go with you. They went out, and immediately they got into the boat, and that night they didn't catch anything. Go back into Matthew, Mark, and Luke when Jesus originally went through and he called his disciples. What were they doing? Fishing. What were they catching? Nothing at the time that he called them, because he went on the shore and he said, you know, what have you caught? And even back then, nothing, you know, our nets are empty. They're already out cleaning their nets and that was done. They had been out for the night. Now you find here that it says, that it goes on here, that when the morning had now come, John 21:4, but when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus says to them, children, have you any food? And they, of course, answered him, no. So he says to them, cast the net on the right side of your boat and you will find some. And so they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. That's when the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Peter had heard this, that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. And the other disciples came in by that of the boat. They walk up to the beach where he is at. They come onto the fires and the coals, and there's already fish and there's bread there that Jesus already had prepared for them. But Jesus says to them in verse 10, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. And it goes into, after that, a large amount of fish. They were large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net did not break. Last week, and we're looking at 153, that's interesting, you know, that they got down to the point of how many fish were exactly in that net. It didn't say about, it didn't say approximately, it said 153. Whatever you can read into it, you can't read a whole lot into it other than by looking at it, and it's just like a specific thing that somebody's really paying attention. Somebody, the writer of this, Luke, they're paying attention to this thing. It's like, Wow, look, or John, look at how many is here. The fish, 153. Not Luke, John. So as we look at these things, my thought along this line was the point of one point was this, that how many times are we out doing things and nothing is happening, and we need to hear that voice from Jesus to say, cast your net on the other side. Do something different. You're doing it your way. Now these, as we have known, are seasoned fishermen, correct? They did this as a career, so they know what they're doing. They were fishing at night because the fishing at night would be the greatest time to catch the fish that they wanted to catch. So they weren't fishing at night because it was like an inopportune time. It was the best time generally to catch the fish, but nobody was biting. But Jesus is there on the shore after the resurrection, and he's saying to the same things again. He sees them out in that boat, and he's asking them, children, have you caught anything? And of course, they're again saying, no. But all he said was, cast your net on the right side of the boat. Now, this is interesting because it's even said here, cast it on the right side of the boat. When we get into Luke and he is talking to him the first time and about casting, he said, just put your net out and you'll catch the fish. But now in John, as he's resurrected, he's come back. This is the third instance of seeing him from the tomb. He is telling him specifically, put it on the right. Because what you're doing on the left evidently wasn't working or whatever, but put it on the right. Cast it over there. Quickly, just to reiterate some of these things, is that how close are we to receiving what God has for us, but we've got our net on the wrong side? We've got to make sure that we're hearing from God. And if we're out there on our own doing these things and nothing is coming to fruition, if we're not gaining anything, maybe we need to listen and look on that shore of your heart, wherever Jesus is at, and maybe he will tell you, Tim, have you caught anything, my child? Are you growing in these things? Have you got these things that I've got? Like, no, he might say, cast your net on the other side, because that's where it's going to be. And so sometimes we go through life on the wrong side. We keep thinking we're going to find it over here, when in reality it's over here, but if we would just hear from Jesus. So that was part of that. Now, a flashback occurs, and I'm going to go to Luke. Now, we find in Luke chapter 5, we find now Jesus is coming to these soon-to-be disciples, these fishermen that he's going to call. But prior to that, he is coming through and he is ministering and he's touching people and he's casting demons out and he's touching, you know, individuals. Verse 31, chapter 4, verse 31, it begins out, Jesus is casting out unclean spirits. We find that in Luke 4, 38 and through there, Peter's mother-in-law is healed. There's healings taking place. In verse 42, chapter 4, 42, Jesus is preaching in Galilee. Here he's preaching in Galilee. Where was he standing on the shore after his resurrection? On the shore of Galilee. He went back. He said, I will go to Galilee. When it was day, he departed and he went into the deserted place, and the crowd sought him and they came to him, verse 42, and they tried to keep him from leaving. Now you could imagine, after seeing all these things that he's doing, casting out demons and healing people, and people are receiving things from him, of course it would be hard for him to leave, because everybody would be gathered around him. They would be pulling on him for more. More! Give us more! We're anxious to hear from more of you. And he says to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. So he's preaching in the synagogues. He's doing all of these things. Now, chapter 5, it begins. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Galilee and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, what? Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. In John, your nets are empty. Cast your nets on the other side. In Luke, we're finding prior to that in John, he's telling Peter, launch out into the deep. Again, I would encourage you today in your life with him, you may need to launch out into the deep with Jesus. Amen. To have him in your life in such a way that he's going to change your life. Did he not change the lives of those fishermen? He certainly did. Well, we find out, he says, launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Jesus didn't say, launch out into the deep and hopefully you may get something. We'll see if there's anything there. Try it if you like. We don't know what's going to be the turnout of it, but give it a shot. No, Jesus says what? Launch, let down for a catch. Launch, let down, get ready for a catch. We find that as very, I think, a transforming time, a change in those lives of those guys that are fishing because they'd been out again all night. It says, but Simon answered and says to them, Master, we have toiled all night and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was not breaking. Again, a great number of fish, they didn't count them, but the net was stretched to the point of it could have broke, but it didn't break. Same thing in John 21. You know, they caught 153, the net was stretched, but it didn't break. See, God, I believe, when he puts these things into us, when he's wanting you to launch out into things that he's asked you to do, launch out into understanding and trusting him, your net will not break. Kind of lets me know that he knows the plans he has for me to succeed and not to fail. You would look at that as when a net breaks, I would say when you'd go back to shore, they would go back to the seller of the net and they would say, this net failed, it didn't hold. There was a weak link in it, the weaving or something was weak. No, God has that plan for us. It will not be a plan of failure, but a plan of success or raising, I believe, our level of life to a higher standard. Amen? Because Jesus says, I come to give you life and to give it more abundant. Abundant life doesn't mean you're going to have a Cadillac and gold and all this type of stuff and the natural things. If any of you have that, praise God. But the part that we are looking at as far as abundance is he's going to meet your needs. You will not lack. Now there might be situations you go through. There might be testings and trials and all these things. But those are for perfecting of our faith. Because we need to have our faith perfected. It needs to perfect it. It needs to mature. You can't have the faith of a child later on in your life with him and when you go against some of the obstacles that's probably destined for your life in this life. Amen? We all are going to go through a struggle. We're all going to go through some situations that's not pleasant. Has anybody been through an unpleasant situation in the last 20 years? I hope probably all of us, something's been unpleasant. You may be going through an unpleasant situation today. But God would say, launch out into the deep, cast your net out, and you will catch. God will be there to supply and take care of you, and he will show himself to you. What a way to show. He's showing himself to these disciples. And I'm sure they're hearing all this stuff going on about Jesus, you know, all of a sudden, because what did he say? But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled. So he's already got an understanding that Jesus, now this is, you know, here we are. Look what we're doing. Let's go ahead and read that. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and they filled the boats with, so that they began to sink. I mean, this is a catch. Now, the nets were breaking, but they didn't break. They got enough to where it's like, these things are going to break. They got their other cohorts of fishers that said, come over here and help us with this great catch. And they came and they filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. Now the boats are even sinking. I mean, you talk about when you get a blessing from God. Is that where it says a blessing that he will pour out upon you that you cannot contain? When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will do what? Catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and they followed him. Now I'm going to tell you, when Jesus calls on you and you begin to be blessed by him, he's going to cause you to have, there's some requirements in that. The requirements of these guys that were fishing is what? They had to brought their boats back to land and they forsook all and they followed him. Now we do find in John, they're back to their occupation because now Jesus is resurrected. He's walking about. He's getting ready to ascend. And now they're like, what do we do now? You know, we'll go back to what we know. We'll go fishing. And of course, they didn't catch anything until Jesus was there on the shore and telling them, cast your net onto the right. Everything started, that's God. That's Jesus. Simon jumps in, he swims, the others come to the boat. A reflection of what, wow, we've been through this whole thing again. So we find in 5:8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and saying, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He was awestruck, seeing this miracle taking place right before his eyes. Peter knew Jesus had healed sick people. He was there in Galilee teaching in synagogues and doing, you know, there was an uproar. There was things happening with him in Galilee, you know, casting demons out of people, touching people, healing, talking in the synagogue, sharing the kingdom message, okay? So we find out that, you know, Peter knew that Jesus was healing sick people, even driving out demons. But what made Peter this time really take notice was the fact that Jesus cared about him. His day-to-day life, Jesus understood Peter's needs. He understood what that whole group of guys was about. Do you not think that Jesus knows your needs today? He knows what you require. He knows he knows if you need a job. He knows that your job that you're in, you need an advancement. He knows you might need a raise. He knows all of these things out there. He is a personal God, isn't he? He knows us from the inside out, and he knows us. So we find this, that God is not only interested in saving us, but he's also interested in helping us with our daily needs. We can get into those things when he had the disciples and he sent them out. And do not care where you're going to stay. Don't even take anything with you when you go. You know, depend on me. I'll provide. We can go into the Old Testament and the times that he provided for the children of Israel as they're going through many days and years into the desert of food and water, sustaining them. Even when sometimes they were just like, we'd all want to probably just, you know, cast them off of the earth and just get rid of them. It's like, ay, 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 these people. But God was taking care of the Israelites. Here, Jesus is taking care of the fishermen. He's taking care of the people of the time, whether they needed healings, whether they needed this or that, or whatever the case might be. He was out and about doing his Father's business. But it tells me here that he's interested not only, see, we get into that realm of, you need to be saved. Here, receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's a very good step. That's the first step we need, right? Receive him. And then begin to receive things from him and what he has for you and how he will help you, how he knows your need. how he says, I know what you need before you ask. But then we get into that realm of, you know, knock and seek and keep knocking and all these things we get into trying to understand these things. But all I know is Jesus knows what Tim needs. Even before I ask, and when I know what I need, I'm going to ask him anyway so I can tell him I notice what I need. How many here, and I think sometimes in our life, people don't, and this goes into people that need help. People that need help sometimes don't see the need that they need help with. Amen? In our own natural humanistic thoughts, we don't see the area that we're in needs some help because we think everything's okay. How many are here like that? I'd raise my hand. There's things that I'm into, have done, went in the past, whatever, and I thought I was okay. It looked good to me. It sounded good to me. It made sense. Oh, boy. Made sense to Tim. That's dangerous. Has anything made sense to you? And now after you get a mind change, transformation of the mind, you know, renewing your mind of God's word, you look at that and you go, that wasn't good. That wasn't what it should have been, you know. But until that renewal of my mind, until that relationship with Jesus, I thought everything was fine. You know, matter of fact, you know who had the problem? The other people. Because I was okay. That's the other person that's got the problem. But Jesus begins to work on us. We begin to find out that he has a love for us. We have an understanding that he has a design for our life. And that design is to be successful and to have a good life and to enjoy life. Many people don't enjoy life anymore, do they? Go out and talk to those in the world. They're down, downtrodden, beaten down. They're frustrated. They're just animosity. They're just whatever the case might be. It's just sometimes hard to find a group of people out there that's like, okay, life is good, you know? And that's not just because it's a refrigerator or a microwave, LG, life is good, but that's their thing. Life is good, it says on their thing, you know? LG. But life is good. And life can be good if you give Jesus that chance in your life. If we can share Jesus with those out there to say, just give him a try. I don't think there's anything against Jesus saying, don't share me with people and say, try me, because I don't want that, you know? I would just encourage, you know, if you're living where you're at now and you've got struggles and you've got pain and you've got suffering and you've got all this stuff happening, you know what? There might be somebody you ought to try. Why not let Jesus come into your life? Why not let Jesus at least try? Give him a try at taking care of your life, you know? Because I'm going to tell you right now where you're at, it seems like you're not doing so well. You're struggling. You're failing. You're down, you're out, you're weak, you're powerless, all these things. Why not let Jesus come into your life and say, why not cast your net over on this side? And there's the catch for you. Jesus in our life today wants us to have abundance. Jesus came so that we would have life and have it more abundantly. As I read and see these fishermen, well-seasoned fishermen, they knew what they were doing. They were struggling. They were having difficulties. Even in an occupation they knew from the front to the back, inside and out, they knew how to fish, they knew everything they needed, the nets, the proper bait, the time when to go fishing, where to go. But they still had a struggle. They still had emptiness in their nets. People have emptiness in their lives because their lives are empty. Jesus comes and says, cast your life, forget your nets, cast your life over on this side of the boat. Cast your life over on this side of where you're at. I mean, you're doing what you've been doing, the same rut for how many years, and it's not gotten any better. What's the problem here? Pay attention to where you're at in life. Pay attention to those struggles that you're having. Pay attention how long you've been trying to fix it yourself. And then listen when God says, change and move it over here. Cast your emptiness here. See, people have an emptiness in their hearts. Many people you talk to, they don't know where they're coming or going. They don't know a purpose. They don't know a reason for their lives. They're like void. They're an empty net. We've got to say Jesus can fill that. That's part of the process of why I put that sign out there where, you know, is your net empty? I'm not talking about, you know, these fishermen that go up and down the street going, oh, I know what that means. You know, it is. It's a fishing thing of what Jesus talked about. But this is more important than fish. This is a person's life now. Well, actually, back then, it was more important than fish. It was the lives of these disciples to come and to follow and to change and follow what Jesus wanted them to do. Because as they would do that, truly they would be that of success. And I'm not saying success because I don't think any of them had, you know, a golden chariot and, you know, all kinds of diamonds and rings and stuff on. But they were a success at what they did when they finally got an understanding of what it was to say, now go, after he was resurrected, and as he came back, he says, go and share the good news. Go share the gospel. Go share what I have been living. Go share what I have been sharing for the last 3 years of my life and showing people, touching people, healing people, loving on people, helping people, encouraging people, setting some people that thought they were pretty wise and understanding of God, letting them know they were a bunch of hypocrites. That's not what this church is about. That's not what the kingdom of God is about, you know. You and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these uppities, they had taken something that was pure and they adulterated it into what they wanted it to be, and they tried to get that upon those people that were following the priest and things of that nature because of the laws that they wanted to keep putting on people. But Jesus came and he took those things and he changed those things, and he really began to touch the hearts of people. And he touched the people to where they were at. He touched them where they were needed. The woman at the well, he met her right where she was at. The blind beggar, he met right where he was at. The ones with demon possession, he met them right where they were at. Where are you at today? Because wherever you're at, Jesus will come and meet you there. Amen? And when he meets you at your location, there will be a change if you allow him to change your life. Change your heart. Change your circumstance. Change your outlook. Change your destiny. He will put you on to the destiny that was pre-planned before you were even formed in your mother's womb. Some of us have gotten off of that destiny because we have allowed the world to corrupt these things, and we have allowed the world's wisdom and the world's ways to tell us this is the way you need to go when it is wrong. The ways of the world are wrong. You've got to get your destiny back from God. Amen. If you don't know where that's at, pray at a simple prayer. Maybe next week, maybe one of these weeks, we'll have instead of a healing, maybe it'll be a call out to say, if you're struggling with your destiny with God, come forward. Let's lay this out for him to take care of for you. Let's get tired of being tired. Let's get tired of being where we're at, staying where we're at. From 2012, 13, 14, now we're at 2018. I'm wanting to see a change of God in our lives. I'm wanting to see a change of God in our church to what he wants it to be so that 2018 finishes out better than when it started. You come in, you leave, you're better than when you came in. This year is going to be that year as well. It's going to go out better than when it came in. But we've got to be prepared for that. We've got to be anticipating that. We've got to be claiming that. We've got to claim those things as though they aren't, though that they will be. Faith is walking into this a whole lot, you know? The faith, faith, faith. How do I do it? Faith. How do I believe? Faith. How do I trust? Faith. I got prayed for healing today. How am I going to know I'm healed? By faith. 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 And not to go by what you see in the natural, it's to go by what you see in the spiritual. When you begin to get your natural eyes closed and open your spiritual eyes, there will be a shift in your life. When that shift in your life comes, it'll be a major shift because you're going to flow into the natural, or from the natural into the supernatural of what God has for you, into that planned destiny and destiny of your life. Wow, I want to get to my destiny. I want to get to that. And your destiny is on this earth. I'm not saying, oh, let's get to our destiny of going to heaven. Yes, we'll go there because I got Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But I did not receive Jesus just to say, well, I'm well and good and I'm going to go to heaven when I die and I don't have nothing else to do between now and then. For shame, because what are you going to do for the next 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years for the kingdom of God? That's what you've got to be looking at. As those fishermen had those careers and they went back to him after he was resurrected, you know, they went back to something that's familiar. Be careful. Jesus hasn't left you. Jesus is right where you left him. Go back to him. Now, I'm not saying give up your careers and things and go, you know, sit on the beach or something. But you've got to stay active. You've got to stay doing. You've got to stay, you know, what you're involved with and what he has given you the opportunities to do. But he will work in those opportunities. You work in the opportunities that you've got, and God will work those opportunities for his good. He will even turn a bad situation into good. He will take something that is just not right, something that's just not what you think, and if we turn it over to him, and just, Lord, you've got to change. Anybody been praying that for, you know, in their jobs, the struggles that you have there with you know, clientele, people, co-workers, whatever the case might be, families, whatever that might be, whatever you're going through and struggling and dealing with, just turn it over to him and say, Lord, this is not the way. This is not the way it's to be. Because this isn't the abundance life that I thought abundance means, you know. This isn't a joyful life that I thought. In our Sunday school hour, we just talked a little bit in regards to James 1:22 and 1 Corinthians 3:18, I believe it was. But it was talking about self-deception. And see, we do a lot of self-deceiving ourselves to make us feel okay, or to at least blame the devil that the devil's done it. And the devil hasn't done a whole lot in your life. Oh, I'm not saying that he hasn't touched your life. He hasn't caused some obstacles in your life. But I think if we would take a survey and to try to find out, because I know my life would be probably a mirror of that for a lot, is that it was under self-deception. Hear, don't just be a hearer of the word, but a doer. You know, we share the message of the gospel. We share the message of the cross. And we share these things, and people hear these things. But now you got to hear, but now you've got to do. Don't deceive yourselves. Deception is the biggest thing out there at times to make you think you're doing the right thing. You know, the websites out there now, we have gotten in such a technology of things of going, and it's such a wonderful thing, but now it's almost like you're scared to click on anything to go to a website that you used to go to because somebody could put a link in that little link there that links that to their link that's not that real site that now you've been hijacked. Deception. Deception is running rampant in this world. Look at technology and these things in the computers. Be careful. Don't do this. Don't click there. Have that. Have that virus security. Have that there. Have a firewall, you know. Secure your bank account. You never know. All of these things. Somebody could get in. You didn't even give them an access to it, but somehow they deceived something somewhere in this big computer brain, and they got all your codes and stuff and all that, and they get right in there, and it's like, my gosh, where's my money at? They got it by deception. They said that they were you, but they weren't. Well, we have that same thing that we've got to be cautious of within ourselves, is not to deceive ourselves of the things that God has for us, and be strong in him. Be careful of the wise and the wisdom of this world, because a lot of that will sidetrack you from the things of God. Because a lot of the wise and wisdom of this world, like that of our upper levels of education, has gone to nothing but trying to, and they've done a very successful job of deceiving and destroying a lot of foundational teachings that a lot of men and women had as they grew up in church, went off to college, come back the first vacation they got, and they tell mom and dad, church is crazy. There's no such thing as that. It's like, my gosh, you've only been gone for 3 months. I've had you for 18 years, and we've been to church, you've got to Sunday school, you've learned, you know God's word and all that, and then within 5 months you come back and say that was all a ruse, that was all a fake thing. The wisdom of the world is taking that and destroying that of the God's wisdom. and people are being deceived. Self-deception, they're deceiving themselves. There's people out there to deceive them. All these things are happening. But as we close today, don't let your life be empty of God. Don't walk around with an empty net. If your net is empty, look over to the shore and go, oh my gosh, that's Jesus. How did you get over there? And he's going to say, child, how's your life? Has it been good? No, haven't caught anything. Set it down in the deep. Change it to the other side of the boat. Last week, it was one of those things, too. It was like, you know, it may not be a major shift. I said, I don't know how wide that boat was and how far out the net was, but, you know, if it was like from this seat to that seat over there, and he says, just take your net from here, go 6 feet, 8 feet, 10 feet, whatever the feet is, drop it over here. It's a bountiful catch, large, big fish, caught 153 here, and there's only like 12 feet of difference, and there was nothing over there, but, and how apropos that is. Because what little fishing I've done, I've seen the same thing. I've been on a boat. I've been up the front catching nothing. My kids have been in the back with Pastor Hoblet catching everything. It's like, what? What is that? We're changing. Get out of here. Get up here. We're on this side of the boat. Hey, I caught one. Hey, I caught another one. Hey, I caught one. What? My line's going straight down. Your line's going straight down. And that wasn't a big boat. That was like, you know. It's like, what is the difference in that water where these fish are at? So how interesting that Jesus used those fishermen. And as I look at it, it's like, you might only be that far from your net to be full of what God has for you. Don't give up. Listen to him. Change what you're doing if you need to change what you're doing if you're doing is not doing what it should be doing. Do what he wants you to do and it'll change. I got to listen to that later. I don't know what I just said. Oh, Heavenly Father. So I hope you're encouraged by something of today. Your nets, listening. He loves you. Oh, gosh. I didn't even get to the... I got to finish here somewhere. For us today, Jesus has called us. To follow Jesus means more than acknowledging him as Savior. We must leave our past behind and commit our future to him. Leave your past behind, commit the future today and tomorrow and the future now to him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, how your word directs and guides us and leads us. Father, we find so much wealth in that Bible. Lord, we thank you for how it, oh Lord, directs our lives and helps us out of situations. And Lord, it actually gives us a life of abundance. Your word does. And so I pray for the people here today. I pray for a continuation of you speaking into their hearts and their spirit from the message that you have shared with us today. Father, for those that had come up for prayer earlier before time of the word, that their prayer has been answered, Lord, and by faith we stand with them, and Lord, that change is about. We thank you, Father, for all of these things. Father, as we prepare to even worship you with our giving, Lord, I come to you today and ask you to bless the giver, bless that which is given, meet every need we ask, in Jesus' name, amen.